and welcome to New in Events, a podcast from IBTM with me, Shanali Devereaux. This is your go-to podcast for fresh insights and practical takeaways, whether you are new to the meetings, incentive, conference and events sector or a seasoned professional. You'll hear from industry leaders, discover innovative solutions, explore evolving trends and get inspired to take your events to the next level. So let's get on with the show. Hello, everybody. Today, I come to you with a double show floor extravaganza. When I was on the floor at IBTM World in Barcelona last year, I spoke to Alistair Turner, who is the author of the IBTM Trends Report 2025. He talks to me about how we are in a golden era of events. Do you think so? He thinks so, and he tells you why and what that means for you. He also coined a new phrase, which I absolutely love. The democratization of content, which is a way to engage people and audiences in new ways through providing content to them in the way they want to see it and where they want to see it. And with that in mind, we cross the show floor to have a conversation with Sammy Connell, who is head of conferences and events team at NASUWT, the Teachers Union. Now, she has been holding creches at her events as a way of encouraging people with children to come to her events. But they're not just ordinary creches. They're not just glorified babysitting. They are where the kids get to enjoy city tours, creative workshops, educational activities. And it's about how, if you integrate that into your event, you can get more people to come along. Enjoy. Thank you so much for joining me here today and for sharing your information, knowledge and findings with us. It's really, really exciting to have you in the podcast booth.
It is. And it's the combination of a huge amount of work that kills me every autumn. And it's so nice to let the baby come to be birthed and to let the genie out the bottle and to see what people think of it. And it's such a privilege to be here. Thank you.
Amazing. It is an enormous amount of work. It's 30,000 words for anyone who's been in academia. That's at least three dissertations, possibly towards a PhD. But it's a fantastic read because it takes you right across global trends, experiential trends. It talks about numbers in the industry and all sorts of things that we should be aware of. But if you had to talk about the evolution, when you're at the forefront of these trends, what is the evolution? What's the change you've seen from last year to this year, if you could talk about it?
There's a broader trend that's been emerging in my own mind that kind of started off 2 years ago that I'm really starting to see solidify at the moment. I'd call it sort of two things. One is the democratization of content. And the second thing is this idea that the event organizer's job isn't just to run an event. It's to make sure that content hits as wide a audience as humanly possible and to actually see it as their responsibility to go out and find out who that audience is. And what that does is by looking at an event through that prism, it brings in all the people that wouldn't normally come to an event. People with kids. People who are disabled, maybe. People who don't like traveling for a long way. People who don't like being in rooms with other people. All of those sort of people have a right to see that content. And then as an event organizer, it is our job to go and make sure that we create environments that suit those people. That way we democratize our content and that way we have more value. And again, short story on the report is, this industry is in growth. We are starting to see what I think we'll look back at as a golden era of an events. How do we know why? Maybe it's because we're getting really good at this stuff.
It's so funny because post-pandemic, there was this feeling that we were all just chomping at the bit to get back to our jobs, chomping at the bit to have human connections again. And we could have used that to explain the growth and excitement around our events industry. But what you're saying is it's slightly different.
I won't discount what you just said because there is something massive about you don't miss it until it's gone. And I think that lives long in the memories of businesses, brands, organizations that have an event. They're the ones that said, oh my God, I really wish I was able to bring my guys together for a team building or my stakeholders together for a communication program, something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think what we were able to do was supplement that with data. Yeah. We were able to supplement that with real value and be able to articulate that as well. And again, what we've got, I think, is this new voice from the industry that again has emerged since the pandemic and over the last couple of years, which is so fine at articulating our value. And because we're good at that, we are challenged to do more. And I think events, the more you invest, the more you get back. And what we're seeing is this virtuous circle, which is give the event organizer more budget, give them better briefs, give them more time, give them more energy into the delegate experience, and we give that back in droves.
And I think it is about articulating our value as well. You know, the pandemic forced us to articulate and understand our value and forced us to consider what was most important about meetings and why they happened. One of the trends that I loved from last year was that rethinking of our why. Not we convene every year because we convene every year, but we convene every year because we have something to say, because we have something to share, because we have something to learn, because we're trying to make these connections to make business happen. And I think when people understand and articulate that, they can then come onto the discussions that we're having that have been apparent in your report, like the discussions around the re-emergence of experiential.
There's a brilliant metaphor that someone always said who runs a major agency said to me. He said, no CEO has ever leant out of their office and said, get me an event. They say, get me loyalty, get me more sales, get me a higher brand profile. And then the event organizer is able to turn around and say, I can do all of those things. They put their hands up and they say, I can do all of those things. I'm going to tell you how. And then we start seeing our growth instead of maybe waiting for something to come back to us as well. The same person actually said to me once, if you're doing a film, what you don't do is you don't get all your actors and then you get all your film sets and then you put all that stuff together and all the boom and the lighting and things like that and you go, right, get me a story. Sometimes we do that. Not so much anymore. We turn around and say, what's the story we want to tell with this event? What's the information we want to pass on there? And then we start creating the experience around it. One is a date. The other is an event. It's an experience with value. And I think, again, it's that articulation. It's that lexicon that the events industry has. There's a massive confidence story here as well. This is a confident industry because it's articulated so well. It's being rewarded back by business.
Absolutely, definitely. Because given the macro environmental landscape, it's not really an easy landscape in which to operate events.
So here we are, 2024. We sat this time last year and we said half of humanity has the opportunity to vote. Now, how are we going to reform essentially the 21st century? And then we sort of fast forwarded to 2025 and we start seeing new dynamics. There is a pressure globally on the free movement of people and goods. We still have inflation. It's not as bad. I think the economy will right itself. We are worried about China, globalization. We are worried about trade wars. All of those things are in place. And I guess one of the trends that I was really delighted to be able to pick out for is that actually we are robust enough to survive this now. There was a session earlier today at IBTM, and the guy said, rightly so, we are always the first thing to be cut. And I wanted to say, are we? Are we now, in 2025, are we the first thing to be cut? Are we going to be cut down by these headwinds? Because actually, I've got a year's worth of data that says we won't.
Amazing. I love that. That should give everyone confidence and strength in what we're about and what we're about to do. What I really love is this notion of democratization of content. It made me think, I feel like we've come to a democratization of the workplace that we as society are still tussling with. I'm hearing a lot of people anecdotally in conversations going, I don't understand why we aren't all just coming back into the office. I understand why we're not coming back into the office because that isn't how we've evolved. We've evolved, things have moved on. It is now work where you are in a way that it fits into your life. And we're seeing this in democratization of content and events. Engage with the content where you are in a way that fits in with your life.
I think there's something around business cultures here as well. We want a collaborative, creative, engaged culture. And it's so interesting, the dynamic between the event and the office. The phrases we said last year was, the event used to be a place to escape the office. Now it's a place to recreate it. And one of the things that we see, again, this is about value. How do we get that water cooler moment? How do we start a conversation? How do we get everyone building? Why is there so many laptop ports in IBTM this year? Do you know why? Because people want to fuse the two. And I think a confident event organizer allows that to happen. But it's also about how people want to work and how people want to learn in a collaborative way. The reason why people come to events is because they want to collaborate. They want to hear things face to face. And that's why people are going back to the office, because they know that there is value in that and they can structure things and have growth. And the statistics are there, which shows the amount of growth of the growth companies that have their culture right in their offices are almost reflected in the amount of investment they put into the events as well. Mostly evidenced by big tech companies, huge investors in events, but also big investors in cultures and things like that as well. And again, if you looked at the Fortune 500 best places to work, I bet you if you went to one of their events, it would be awesome.
I'm loving what you said about us being the water cooler moments that don't exist in these globalized remote workplaces, because I think people do ask about them. They think that's what's missing by not having a workplace culture. And if you think about it, teams that are remote, they come together once a month, once a week, whatever it might be, to just have that moment where they're all together. And I think it's wonderful that we would be seen as the water cooler replacement.
And how much value can you put on that? The exchange of an idea, the collaboration of a team, the networking of a team together, especially not only because we're talking about this dispersion of workforces and ideas and the need to bring them back together in a central place, but also the fact that workforces are becoming more diverse as well, positively so. And again, you need to meld those teams together. If you're bringing diversity, you also need to bring cohesion. This is what events do. You ask any event organizer out there on the floor of IPTM, they'll be saying, you've been doing this for 100, 200 years. Now we're able to articulate why this is so valuable and business sees that.
Talk to me about democratization of content, especially because content seems to be the thing that's driving most events now. Obviously, there's networking and connections, especially at exhibitions like this. But content started to be seen as an add-on to exhibitions, now is part of the fabric of them and often what people come for is part of the whole.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to my analogy around the film set. Every business, every organization, every association has something to say. They want to say something. So what is their call to arms? What is their action? And it's about bringing those people together. An event is a perfect place to do it because not only can they control what that content is, they can control the atmosphere and the environment with which it is told. And that's why there is so much resonance of communication through an event. That's why it works so well, because you don't send an email and you don't get them to read a memo or anything like that. You bring them into a lived environment and you make them experience that content. You show them as well as tell them. That's why it's so important. Now, once you've done that, once you've decided what your why is, what your purpose is, what is the message you want to send to the people that you want to do that, what you can't then do is flake out at the last minute and say, well, that's just for people that wanted to come today or that could make it. Having an operation, going on holiday, or can make that day.
Or don't have childcare, or perhaps whatever it might be.
Exactly, the million reasons.
You can't sit in the hall for 45 minutes and listen to somebody for whatever reason. Auditory, sensory problems.
Just don't like events.
Yeah,
some
don't
people
like events.
Don't like events.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's allowed. So actually, what you can't do is go, well, this thing that we've canned out that we want to say is so important, but just for the people that want to come to events. No, if it's that important, get everyone a fear. Like, bring them all in and however virtual or virtuous world you want to create from as well. And again, the best event organizers are becoming intelligent communication agencies as well. And if you look at the heroes that we see across the world, VocDams, Identity, all places like that, then you look at some of the most sophisticated event teams we see out there putting on global events like LinkedIn or Salesforce, or that, they get it. They're communication people. They're not just events people, they're communication people. They understand comms, they understand audience, they understand motivation and emotion and things like that. They're smart.
It's so interesting because we talk about a skills shortage at the moment. You know, everyone's trying to hire. We have a pipeline issue, certainly in the UK, and trying to get people interested in events and engaged in events. So the idea that we came out of the pandemic thinking that skills that perhaps were missing were the digital skills, but actually the skills of the future, when you're talking about democratizing content, might be about understanding how to do that, but understanding how the event people are communicators. So what do you think the key skills are that we're going to need in the future?
I think we've got to move away from organization to agility. I think we need to move from straight lines to creative one. An event organizer of the future is a creative and collaborator and also a dynamic individual. One of the things that came out of the report is the ceiling is so high, but the access point is so low to be in the events industry. And we can cover all those different skills and people as much as we like. So my thinking is if they have that mindset of inclusion and collaboration, creativity, they will do very well in the events industry.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today, Alistair. Really appreciate it. Thanks
really enjoyed
very
the
much.
Chat. Thank you.
I am here with the amazing Sammy Connell, who I have the enormous privilege of knowing through the Fast Forward 15 program because she is kindly given of her time to be a brilliant mentor. But beyond that, she has over 18 years in the industry. Having worked all over the place, she's currently head of the conference and events team at NASUWT, the Teachers Union. but she's also co-chair of ABCO and a Green Gage Sustainability Champion. But her interest here today is slightly different, and I think it's beyond brilliant because it leads into the inclusivity agenda. Zami, do you want to talk about that for a bit?
So I'm here today. I've been here for the last few days as a speaker. We're very much looking at the inclusivity piece with children at events. Don't panic. Not those of little children running around. So at NSWT, we've been having children, i.e. creches, at our events for over 20 years, and they've been building in size. We started off having the odd creche, a couple of children, while it was a novice idea, and recently we're having over 100 children at our events. And for NSWT, it's not new, but for the rest of the industry, it absolutely is. People just can't imagine what that looks like, having small humans at a large conference over a number of days.
You say it, and it makes absolutely perfect sense to me. Why is it not in our psyche?
I think it's just because for so long, children have been excluded for various reasons. You picture them at our events running around the exhibition or in the main auditorium causing chaos, or how's that going to work? When actually, the barrier of so many people, especially women, especially single parents, is childcare, whether it's affordable or what support they've got around them. In our industry, teachers union, 75% of the membership of the profession are women. And a lot of those households are double teacher related. So you've got two teachers wanting to come to our conference, but who's going to take the parental? Who's going to look after the children? The question that I ask myself over and over is, do we believe in equality or do we not? And that's a question that you've got to ask yourself. If you truly do, then looking at creche provision is a real big step in the right direction.
In terms of your bottom line, I mean, how difficult is it to provide accreditation and services on site? You've been doing it for 20 years. It's increased in size. What does it look like on site?
There is loads of creche providers out there because this is an industry that is now booming, where before it was like a nursery hotel would have sort of a chaperone, and now they've seen the industry. Now, my number one recommendation is go with someone trusted. Any parent listening to this, what is your most prized possession? It won't be your car, it won't be your house, it will be your child. And you've got to hand that child over to a trusted, and that causes a lot of anxiety. Equally, more anxiety leaving a child at home with grandparents, other parents. It takes a village to raise a child. And I think that the events industry needs to be part of that village if you want, especially women, to succeed.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a shame that still in modern society, women are the primary caregivers for children at home. And it almost seems exclusionary to say, look, I really want to take a week out, come to IBTM. I can't do it because I have childcare responsibilities and I can't farm them out to other people. We have increasingly individual lives. It's increasingly more difficult to come. I'm still thinking, why is this not a normal practice? Why is this not a normal practice?
Some event organisers that I've spoken to, and over the last 6 to 12 months, I've spoken to a lot of event organisers, especially in the association industry. Their question is, a lot of the organisers think it's going to be a huge task. When I tell them that I have a creche for 100 children for 3-4 days, people look horrified. However, it is one of the easiest parts of my job by far, because all my role is finding a space that's suitable, finding a provider that can provide that. And they're very much like a provider, as you would provide AV, as you would provide catering, they provide a service. How we manage it is the requests come in, people tell us how many spaces they need at the creche, who needs the creche. We pass that information over to our provider, and then that's the work done. The provider has all of the children's information. We know that actually SEN children are on the rise, and some providers don't take SEN children. We work with a provider called Nipabout who take all children, and we make sure that we've got a provider that can do that. And then they very much liaise with the parents. We're there to provide the space, promote that we've got a creche, and to make sure that the creche provider has everything they need. But make sure our insurance has it included. That's also a key piece. The rest is reap the benefits.
Have more people at your event.
We absolutely see a huge increase, especially of women at our events when we have a creche than when we don't. So it's got to the point now where most, if not all of our events have a creche or at some sort of provision. It might be a chaperone with one or two children over 8. It might be a full singing. And we take creche from 0 to 16. So yes, we have newborn babies as well.
Amazing. And I'm presuming it is also the joy. If you go overseas without your children, and I don't have children, but I can imagine this joy and empathize with this joy, is that knowing that they're nearby, knowing that at the end of your event, you're not 4 hours away and FaceTiming them, you are able to pick them up and have dinner with them and put them in the same bed in the
hotel. Absolutely, and have breakfast with them. And it's all of that inclusivity piece of, we see members staying longer at our events, not having to shoot off. We see them more engaged at our events, staying for more sessions when we've looked at the data, when we don't have a question, when we do. We saw that actually people are going to more sessions. They're not shooting off early, they're not arriving later. And also, they feel like you care about them. We're in an age now where people are leaving events. They want to feel cared for. Yeah. They don't want to feel like another number. NSWT, we've got 270,000 members across the UK, huge proportion of the women, huge proportion of single parents. Why would we want to create another barrier for them to get involved?
I think it's absolutely an imperative part of an inclusivity piece. When we're trying to think about what do our delegates want and need, it's not just about housing them. It's not just about feeding them. Mm. It's about making them feel that they can participate fully in our events without the worries that they would be leaving behind. It does. It pays massive benefits. Have you got any metrics? Obviously, you were talking about people staying longer, etc. How have you been measuring those over the years?
So over the years, we've been measuring that. We've been running events with or without crashes or looking at the attendance of the sign-up rate. We notice that there's a 20% increase on sign-up rate when there is a crash, because actually we know as parents, and I've got two young girls that are 4 and 12, definitely got my hands full. I would have loved to brought them on here. With our metrics, we can see that there's a 20% increase of people registering early, because you think, I don't have to sort the logistics out. Yeah. I just need to pack them a case and they can come with me. That's going to be an experience for them. And in the UK, in terms of some associations I talk to talk about, oh, but would it be an unauthorised absence out of school if they're in school? You can apply for an authorised absence, because the crash provider we work with are Ofsted registered. They're outstanding, they're Ofsted registered. It's going from one setting to another, so it's not affecting their absence or their attendance. What I love about the crash provider we work with, if we're discussing something at the conference that's topical, they will also include it in their crash provision. And I think some of our crashes, people think they're a bit like holding pens. They're not. They're really structured. We had one at the weekend in Birmingham at the ICC. They went to the Sea Life Centre, the children did. They went to the library. They go out and about exploring. So when mum and dad pick them up at the end of the day, it's, what have you done today, mum and dad? But actually, look what I've done. I've been to the Sea Life Centre. We took them to Cadbury's World the year before. They go out on outings and experience the city with their friends. And that's another thing. There is definitely something around pester power. We see parents that have brought their children to our annual conference year in year, and their children are saying, is X going to be there? Is Y going to be there? Because I met them last year. Aww. And they've become friends at the crashes because you're with them all day. We love that. And then it's, my mum's a teacher, my dad's a teacher, and they've got all these friendships being made. Then we hear the parents saying, oh, I had to come because Libby was championing on that she needed to see a friend this year. And you've got definitely something around the pester power, because if your children enjoy an experience, why wouldn't you want to give them that again?
Yeah.
And you're also getting something out of it. So our crash feedback is huge, very popular. The comments that we get is, I physically couldn't attend this event without this crash. That's why we do it.
I absolutely love that, because fundamentally, we're in the business of human connections.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is encouraging that generation to make connections outside of their school, outside of their city, outside of their normal friendship group, and become social humans that essentially are going to go on and realise the power of those connections.
And what we do with our crash providers, we start telling them about the roles that an event has. So there'll be a session in the crash where they're saying, today, your mum and daddy are here, there's be a catering team and they have a job of this, and there's an event manager and there's an AV team. And they start telling them about the event that you're at today. When they're walking them around the centre, there's a branding consultant, they've done that signage. And because the children are there for the whole duration from start to breakdown. And I really love the fact that they include, they talk about teachers and what they're doing and the rights of teachers and what mum and dad are doing today is really important. But also they feed in the events industry, and we know that children don't know about the events industry. They have to come and get their badge and register, and like everyone else, and they have their own little desk that's separate, and they're already feeling what it's like to be at an event, but also knowing how important it is that their mum and dad engage with this.
As somebody who's desperate to get the next generation into events, this is absolute music to my ears. I'm feeling it so much. I was already an advocate for creches at events. You can see the metrics pay off. You know that it means a lot to our attendees. It's obviously inspiring the next generation. So my plea is, Newen events, come on, let's get creches. They are Newen events, and they should be
all inclusive
everywhere. They, I know, I'm supposed to be unbiased. I'm so biased, and I'm unapologetic about
it. I really struggled this week being in Barcelona away from my children. I felt mum girl. My daughter said to me, "You're going away again, mummy." Mm. I was like, "Oh yeah, but I'll be back." And FaceTiming, and you just feel like, I really want to be here, but at the same time, if my daughter was in the creche, you know, in another room and having the time of her life, that would ease my worries, and I'd be able to engage more. And I've loved being here; it's been a really great experience. But I definitely think that to bring it to the next level and be really inclusive of parents, I think creches are definitely for 2025 onwards forever.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me and talking about it.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Incredible content from both Sammy and Alistair. I hope you had a pen handy and were taking notes, because there were loads of things said in both of those interviews that I was just noting down and noting down, and things I'd never heard before. So some of you might not have heard about slowbalization, which refers to the slowdown in the world becoming more connected, which was exacerbated by COVID. Some even say that this is the start of deglobalization, where countries become less connected. But that doesn't detract from Alistair's main message, which is that we will look back on this time as a golden era in events, because we really got it right. We were able to articulate our value. We were able to articulate the worth of events. And this leads to better briefs, better allocation of budget, and overall, better outcomes. And where better to allocate your budget than making your event more inclusive and accessible through the democratization of content? It's a virtuous circle. The idea that the more you invest in democratization of content, the more you get out of it. And that's exactly what Sammy was talking about when she was talking about offering creches. That investment in creches has seen a 20% increase in her events. Not only do people attend more, they stay longer. That has to be an imperative part of any inclusivity piece. Sammy also mentioned SEN, which stands for Special Educational Needs, and the creche provider she uses is Nipabout, www.nipabout.com. The key message really here is to stay confident. This is the best time we've had in events for a long time. Be confident where you allocate your resources. Be confident about how you articulate your worth. Enjoy, and hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hi everyone, Claudia Hall here, Exhibition Director for IBTM World. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Newen Events. Your host for season two is Shanali Devereaux, and executive producer is Mike Fletcher. Don't forget to mark your calendar for IBTM World in Barcelona, taking place from the 18th to 20th of November. And if you found this episode insightful, please share it with anyone else you think may appreciate it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.